Okay, we're going to get started today. And what we're going to be going over today is just one verse. I know last week you guys went over with Michael kind of a lot of different verses. There's a lot of verses that he went to. And I listened to it this week, and it was really good. Again, that warning to us of being in the flesh, of things that's what we need to be wary of other people, but then also in ourselves, we have to be wary of that as well. This week, we're going to be just camping on one verse, however, and we're going to be looking at that we need to be beware the deceiver. So not just those that are in the flesh, but those that are deceiving. And this is kind of a hard verse, not to preach, not to understand even. It's a hard verse to follow for a lot of people. It's a hard verse to obey. And as we go through it, we'll see why. It's not just as simple as people think about it as, oh, I just need to follow the command that's in this verse, which means turn away. But it applies to a lot of different aspects in our life and a lot of people that we have in our lives. And it needs to be something that we are paying attention to and that we are following. Let's you can turn to the other chapter, chapter 4, and we'll see what we're going to be talking about. It's kind of a good summary as well. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, it says in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables." Man at his base, especially in the latter days, which is now, doesn't want to listen to truth. Doesn't want to listen to doctrine. Cannot endure it. Would much rather accept a fantasy. Accept a fable. Something that is a lie. There's one phrase I want you guys to really think about this week. It is a lot easier to believe a lie than to follow the truth. That's basically what this verse here, 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4 is saying. People would much rather believe a lie. They'll be turned into fables. It's an itching ear. It's easy to hear because it's not hard to follow. The word of God is not hard to understand. It's right here. It is plain. It is simple. But it is definitely sometimes hard to follow. But we are commanded to do it. And that's what we're going to be going over today in chapter 3, in verse 5. Let's pray and we'll get into the disguise of the enemy, the denying of the power of truth, and then ultimately don't be deceived by them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time again that we can have in your word, that we are able to open it up and see from the simplicity of it what you are trying to tell us and what we are accountable in obeying, what we are accountable in doing in this life so that we can stand unashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, so that we know our marching orders, so that we know what you expect of us, Lord. Help us to follow through with that. Help us to be submissive to your word and be able to see it, Lord. Be humble before it. Ask that you help me to be able to speak your words and nothing more. Ask that you help me to convey exactly what your word says and nothing else. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so chapter 3 of 2 Timothy in verse 5, it says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And this is the context of basically talking about people, men that are not following the truth. But this is a different aspect of them. This aspect of them is that they have a form of godliness. It is a disguise. It is not true godliness. is just a form. It is basically, again, a shadow of it. It is something that is not 100% what it is, what godliness is, what is that we're trying to be like God. It is just a form. Again, a good way to think about it is it's a counterfeit. That is what the enemy does. He tries to counterfeit. He tries to make it seem like truth. He might try to make it seem like it is what we should be doing. It sounds right, but no, it's not 100% truth. This is what the enemy does. And it's not just a boogeyman that we try to say from the pulpit here to make you fear and obey. It is what the enemy is trying to do and what he does. Turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. We're going to read 5 through 6. Mark chapter 13, 5 through 6 says, "And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many." Jesus Christ himself knew that this was going to happen. That they will say they're Christians, that they'll say the right things, that they might you might believe it if you are not paying attention. That they're saying, I am Christ, I'm Christ-like, I'm godly. But it is only a form. It is only, again, just a shadow of it. It is not true godliness. It is not true truth. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read 13 through 15. It says, 13 through 15, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Like, they'll get their just deserve. But they seem like they are godly. They seem, if you're not paying attention, that they are transformed into the ministers of righteousness. They are out there. And unfortunately, nowadays, it is the vast majority of Christianity that does not 100% speak truth. That is not 100% godliness. Because again, we were talking about this in the Bible study. There's only one interpretation of the Word of God, and that's God's interpretation of the Word of God. There's no private interpretation. It is either God's way or not. The Word of God is the same today, now, and forever. It is not changing. It is not changing with times. It does not change with the culture of today. It is God and his word, and it does not change. But the enemy is going to try to deceive you. They're trying to say, oh, but it doesn't matter as much. You don't have to push as hard with that. You don't have to believe completely that to be godly, to be able to, you know, have everything God wants for you. No, we need to understand as Christians, as ones that want to actually be godly, one that want to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ and know that I have done what the Lord wants me to do, I need to be paying attention and beware and be watching for those that are trying to deceive me. Turn back to the passage, 2 Timothy. It is a form of godliness. But to understand what form of it is, we have to understand what true godliness is, what biblical godliness is. With dealing with money and counterfeit money, the government doesn't understand, doesn't doesn't put in an effort of understanding exactly what every other counterfeit is. What they train their workers to do is know what the true thing is. They handle it. They know it. They exactly know this is the seal, this is the shadow, this is everything that has to be on the actual money. And if you know your actual money, you're going to know the counterfeit because it's going to be different than it. But they have that same principle. They know their thing that they have to know the counterfeit. We have to do the same. We have to know the actual thing. That is the only way to know if it is not 100% truth. You have to study and know the truth. What is godliness? True godliness. Let's turn to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. So here, it is linked with the truth. If you think about what godliness means, it means that it is godly. It is something that is as God. Something that is 100%, again, what we're trying to be, like God. The body of Christ, as God. The only way we know how to do that is because we learn it from here. We know it from the truth of the Word of God. Go and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. You can only know how to get closer to God if you understand what He is telling you how to do it. The truth of the Word of God. The doctrine that has been committed to us. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 3. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. And there's consequences afterwards. We're actually going to get into that later on. But understand that it is the doctrine that is according to godliness. That is how we know what is a form of godliness and what is actual godliness. By submitting to what the Bible tells us it is. What knowing exactly what is committed to you, the doctrine that has been committed to you. Do you know your doctrine? Do you know your truth that is you're accountable for? If you do not, you are making yourself open to being deceived. To not knowing that you are going to be carried away with other doctrines. Because you don't know what you're actually supposed to be learning. What you're actually supposed to be doing. Go and turn to 1 Timothy 3. Godliness itself is something very important in this dispensation. It's in the same book as what we just read, that it's the doctrine according to godliness. In chapter 3, he defines what that is for us. And it's actually this dispensation. It says in chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. A mystery is something that was not revealed before. Again, Paul talks about mysteries. There's actually 7 different mysteries. You can ask about that in Bible study if you want. But this is one of those mysteries, something that was just revealed for us, the body of Christ, in this dispensation, not for the Jews. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He came down, was a man, justified in the Spirit. This is actually when he died and saved us, justified in the Spirit. Seen of angel, he resurrected, seen of them again, preached unto the Gentiles. This did not happen in his ministry. This is not talking about the death, resurrection, and gospel of the kingdom. This is our doctrine. It is not what Jesus taught. Jesus did not teach them to go to the Gentiles. This is only for us. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This is talking about, it's basically an encapsulation of all of our dispensation. It is until he is received up into glory, which is the body of Christ being taken out of the way. That is the dispensation of this time, of grace, dispensation of grace. The mystery of godliness is that. So when he talks about the doctrine which is according to godliness, it is the doctrine that is for us in this dispensation. It is the doctrine that is in line with what we are trying to do to become godly, to become as, again, we're trying to do what God has ordered us to do. That is the doctrine that is specific to us. The only way you know what it is if you study it, is if you know it. Or else it's just a form. If you're not 100% in, if you're not 100% preaching and understanding and knowing what the Lord wants for you in this dispensation, you are liable to be just a form of godliness. Just something that mimics it, but is not godly. Don't be that. Don't be like those, the deceivers that are trying to get you away from the path. It is the form of godliness. Why are they doing this? There's a purpose. Like I said, it's not just a boogeyman that I'm just saying up here so that you obey the truth and then we, you know, you do what the Bible says and then we're good to go. No. They are trying to deceive you. The enemy is trying to deceive you. Whether they know it or not, they're being used of the enemy to try to take you from what the Lord wants for you at that day. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." A man or woman, if they are deceived, they cannot stand if someone is saying truth, because that is calling them out in their own deception. Basically, if I tell someone this is what the Word of God says, and they've deceived themselves to say, no, this is not, they can't stand that truth. They can't stand correct doctrine because it invalidates what the lie that they've told themselves. They will deceive and continue deceiving. That is the reality that we face today. That is their purpose, to continue deceiving, to validate themselves in their own lie that they've told themselves, that there is nothing to lose at the judgment seat of Christ. That is the lie that they are giving. Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Paul is telling us here, do not be children anymore spiritually. Children believe anything you tell them. You can tell them the sky is red. It's like, oh, it was red once. It's always red. It's just weird that it's blue today. I'll believe you. It's red. Like, they are innocent. They don't understand that there are things that are truth and that are not. Don't be like that spiritually. We are told to grow up, to stand on the Word of God, and not to be children anymore. For what purpose? It says, I read, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people in Christianity that are trying to deceive you. Unfortunately, again, being used of the enemy. All these different religions out there, they wholeheartedly believe it. And a lot of times you can't tell them otherwise. Again, we're commanded to tell them what the Word of God says. But we are called to not be children anymore, so that we are carried about with, oh, what does the doctrine say today? Oh, what's the popular opinion today about this? I'm going to go because that's where the wind is blowing. I'll get more people that way. I'll be able to have, again, more money that way. Whatever it is, your reasoning, it doesn't matter. We are called to say what the truth of the Word of God is, and that is it. And not be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Their purpose, again, is to lead you away. Do not be led away. Do not allow them to take you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do not believe their disguise. Turn back to the passage, 2 Timothy 3. And we'll look at the next thing. There are two ways to know if it's true godliness. Again, he can't see people's hearts. That's up to God and what his judgment will be at the judgment seat of Christ, or if they're not saved at the great white throne of judgment. If you have a question about that, ask in a Bible study. But for those that are saved, that's where we'll be judged, at the judgment seat of Christ. It is not for us to know exactly what their heart is saying or thinking. But there are two things that we can see of what will tell us if they are just a form or actual godliness. And those are things that they say and the things that they do. And that's kind of what he goes through here with the power of it. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They seem like they are godly, but in actuality, they deny the power of godliness. They deny the actual power. Power is not just something, oh, I have this supernatural thing that is inside of me, which, if we really think about it, we do, but not in the terms that they're talking about. They're concept of power is different than what the Bible says. What is actual power? What is actual power? Well, let's see what that says, what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What is this power that they are trying to deny, that they can't actually have? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul is speaking here, talking to the Corinthians, and this is when he was talking to them that they did not even know Christ, that they were lost. You can see that from chapter verse 1 and 2, but we're going to read down in chapter 4. It said, verse 4, and it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Paul says here, I didn't use enticing words. I didn't use man's wisdom to try and convince you. What did I use? I used the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And in verse 5, it says, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So what is this power? Well, he says it's that your faith should stand in the wisdom of men. Not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How do we get faith? We'll turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It tells us. It says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So basically, Paul was telling them that he didn't want their faith to be in just man's words. You're not following a man. He wanted their faith to be rooted in the power of God, which is the word of God. Because that is how we get faith, is by hearing the word of God. Our power is not our own. It's what we get from what the word of God is. And if you think about, what does the word of God do? In any dispensation, what is the point of the word of God? It is to change our eternity. That is the power of God. To either change your destiny from hell to heaven, if you believe it, or change your, if you're saved, your destiny from loss to gain at the judgment seat of Christ. It is the power of God because it changes your eternity. This is the power that they reject. They are not 100% in the doctrine. They say you have to be baptized to be saved. They say you have to do all these works to be saved. That is denying the power, because that is not what the Word of God says. What do they believe? Listen to what they say. Are they rejecting God's power to change destinies from heaven to hell, or from loss to gain? That is the power that we can wield by giving the Word of God to others. It is not our power. It is that we are giving the truth of the Word of God that has power, that has God's power to change a soul's eternity. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Paul is talking to Timothy here, who is saved. He's saved. He is not going to hell. So what does he tell them him here? It says in verse 16, chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." He tells Timothy here, you need to continue in the doctrine to save yourself. That is the only way. If Timothy is saved, it's not to change your destination from hell to heaven. He already has that. Again, it's the preaching that we are trying, again, that we're doing right now, that we preach to other Christians that there is something to lose at the judgment seat of Christ. Take heed, or else you have loss. You should have gain at the judgment seat of Christ if you are doing what, if you're taking heed unto the doctrine. That is, again, what they deny. Thankfully, a lot of religions still can lead people to Christ through Romans 10:9 salvation, but a lot of them are not even doing that anymore. They confuse it, like I said, with other things like baptism and works. And again, God is the only judge of whether that person actually is getting saved or not. But they're putting it at jeopardy. But besides that, the vast majority of Christians, and you guys know this, do not profess that there's something to lose at the judgment seat of Christ. That there's something, that there's more to gain, to do with the work. Our time right now is not just, again, like they say, to love everyone or to do what, you know, love God. And no, if you love God, you'll keep his commandments and do what he's told us to do here, which is, again, beware of those deceivers that are trying to pull you away from the reality of the judgment seat of Christ. They deny the power. Listen to their words. What are they saying? Do they profess that power or not? The second thing is, how do they live? Do they live it? Because there are Christians out there that profess that there is something to lose, but then they don't actually live it. What do their works say? Do they live what they say? If not, then don't follow them. That's not someone to follow if they are not living what they say. Turn to Galatians chapter 7. Galatians chapter 7. Sorry. Yeah. 6 verse 7. If your Bible has a chapter 7, it's not a good Bible, throw it away. Galatians 6 verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth into his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. For he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." What do their works say? Are they actually living what they profess? They might believe that, yep, I'm going to stand accountable to God and there's something to lose. But if they don't actually follow through, and that's the hard thing, to follow through. Again, it's a lot easier to believe a lie. You got to follow through with truth, with what you believe. Or else you're going to get what you receive. You're going to sow. You're going to reap what you sow. If you reap in the flesh, you're going to sow. Or if you sow in the flesh, you'll reap in the flesh. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable and disobedient and to every good work reprobate. They profess that they know God. They're Christians. They profess, I am a Christian, guys. We can all just, you know, come together, sing Kumbaya, and we're good to go. We can all have fellowship. No. What do their works? They deny him in their works. They do not follow through. They do not obey. It says, and disobedient. They don't obey God. That is not someone that we want to be with, joining hands with. And we'll get to that in a second, in the last point here. Watch what they do. Watch what they say. That is how we tell, is if it's just a form of godliness or if it's actual godliness. Turn back to the passage. Well, there's one more thing in this point. I don't want to read that the verse again. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You can kind of see on your bulletin, there's a kind of a system here. Again, first part has their purpose. But what I want you to consider what is happening here is that they deny God's purpose. This is what they're doing. They deny the power thereof. They know, hopefully because you're telling them the truth, they know that the Bible says this, but they're like, no, I don't believe you. I don't believe that that's what God wants for me. They deny God's purpose. We cannot allow, again, ourselves to become that as well. Don't be deceived. 2 Timothy chapter 3, down in the passage. You'll be looking at this later on, I think either next week or the week after that, in verse 7 and 8. But this is, again, a continuation of this type of person that is deceiving. It says in 7 and 8, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is their reality. They ever learn. They're like, oh, I just want knowledge. I want knowledge. I want to study this and that and this. But it's not actual truth. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. These were the magicians in the Old Testament in Exodus that withstood against Moses. It says, so do these also resist the truth. Paul is equating the people that resist the truth, that deny God's purpose, as witchcraft. They're the same. He says, Jannes and Jambres, who were magicians, use the power of the enemy. He equates them as the same. They also resist the truth. That's a harsh condemnation to those that would resist what God's purpose is. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. If you allow yourself to be deceived, because again, don't be deceived that you can't get to this point either. But what happens is that your mind is corrupted. They can't see what is truth anymore because they believe their lie. They have so inherently tried to believe this thing that they have nothing to lose, that they will not listen to truth anymore. Don't become like that. You can. I can. We cannot allow ourselves to follow this deception. Remember that there's something to lose at the judgment seat of Christ, that God wants us to change our eternity through it by obeying him. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 18 and 19, it says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. This is not just talking about the lost people. That's what Christians like to say a lot of times. Oh, this is just talking about the lost people. That they'll have destruction. You know, the lost will have. that no, he is talking to the Philippians here. For many walk. And he's in the context, he's talking about brethren. That don't be deceived by these brethren so falsely called, whom are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Again, destruction of everything that your works might have built at the judgment seat of Christ. Destruction of anything that you might have done worthy of giving the Lord at that day. Like I talked about last time I was here, we are building something, building for eternity. If we allow ourselves to be deceived, all that will be destroyed. Anything that you might have built will be burned. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You see that in. Don't let the enemy deceive you. They will deny God's purpose. Don't let that be you. Turn back to the passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. We'll look at the last point here. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This is our command. This is a direct command to all, each and every one of us. And the one that sometimes is hard to do. It says, from such, turn away. It is a very direct command. But I want you to see here, and we're going to read up from the verse. This is one whole, well, from verse 2 is a whole verse, but I'll read verse 1 again. The verse does not end. It's talking about all of this. It says, this know also, from verse 1 of chapter 3, that in the last days perilous times shall come. This is the start of the verse. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of God more than lovers of God. There's a semicolon there, but that's not the end of the sentence. So it is still talking about, in summation, all of this. And then we go into the verse we talked. So again, as you guys saw last week, it's talking about people that are in the flesh, which could be us as well. And then what we're talking about today, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So those that are saved, but are trying to deceive you, them as well. What is the command? From such, turn away. That command is to everyone that matches that description. From verse 2 all the way to verse 5. We are not supposed to be in fellowship with people that are in the flesh. We are not supposed to be in fellowship with people that are not going to the same goal. We're not supposed to link arms with them. If someone, you're following someone and they're going off on a different direction because they're not following the goal of what we have for the judgment seat of Christ, it says turn away. Don't follow that direction. Don't be taken down a different path. Follow God. That is who we're supposed to be following. All of the such like, from such turn away. All of this such, from verse 2 all the way down to 5, it's talking about all of them. And that could be, again, anyone in our lives. We are not supposed to have fellowship with them if they are not walking according to the truth. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Again, talking about these people, the such. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 22. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Again, if it's not 100% godliness, it's just a form of godliness, then it's ungodliness. It's either godly or not. That's what this is talking about, ungodliness. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God's wrath comes onto them. because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God gave them the truth, but they rejected it. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even in his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every person that is lost, every person that is saved, has no excuse. They have the word of God, and they have the things that are even in his creation that point them to the Lord, if they are willing to be led by the Lord. They are without excuse. Continue reading. It says in 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It says, when they knew God. This is a very big condemnation for those that are saved. If you know God, you have double no excuse. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you should be led of the Holy Spirit to know what the Word of God says. Lord, you'll stand before him without excuse. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Again, are you being deceived by man? Are you being deceived by your flesh? Are you counted in this such? Don't be. Because again, we're commanded to turn away, to not follow that person, not have fellowship. It says in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5 through 7 says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So he's laying out again, those that are in the flesh, those that are not following God, those that are, again, an idolater who is not lifting up God as their Lord and Savior, this can be a lost person or a saved person, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, will not reign, will not have glory in the kingdom of God. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Again, we're talking about this deception. There are those who are trying to deceive you of what he just talked about. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. He's warning. Paul is warning us that those such will not have any inheritance in the kingdom of God, will not stand before him unashamed. Do not be partakers with them. You can be deceived into not having anything as well. Don't let it happen. Don't be deceived by them. You got to turn away. Don't be led away by them. Turn back to the passage. I'll read it again. It says, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So, again, the such, those that are not following the word of God, those that are not following the doctrine that is according to godliness, from such, turn away. Turn to Romans chapter 16. These are the commands to us. And these are not all the commands that he talks about, basically keeping yourself away from those that are doing this. These are just some. We don't have time to go through them all. If you want to know all of them, again, ask it in a Bible study. But we're going to go through three here. First one, Romans 16. Verse 17, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. If someone is causing division and is talking against the doctrine that we have learned, that has been given to us by Paul, you avoid them. Again, you give them the truth, but you don't condone their actions. You don't have fellowship with them, because then they say, oh, okay, well, I guess it doesn't matter, I guess. I guess you don't really believe what you say because you're not following through all the way. You're not obeying what you say you believe. It says, avoid them. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. See another one. 2 Thessalonians. In chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 14. It says, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, again, a doctrine that is according to godliness, the epistle, the doctrine that was in this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. There is a purpose to not having company with him. Again, it's so that he can be ashamed, so that he can know that you do not agree with what he says. Because if you do not, you are condoning it. You are allowing it to stand. This is a hard thing to do sometimes, especially if it's a loved one, especially if it's someone that's close to you, a best friend, a close friend. It doesn't matter who it is. We still have the commandment here, and it applies to anyone that fulfills these requirements that is against the word of God. The last one we'll go to is 1 Timothy chapter 6. Again, there are more, but we're just going to a few today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to read 3 again. We're going to go down to 5. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Again, we talked about this. If they oppose the word of God and specifically the doctrine which is according to godliness, what is he? It says, verse 4, he is proud. It's a blanket statement. If they oppose the truth, it's because they are not humbling themselves to see it. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings. He is the reason why there's division, not you. You giving the truth is not causing the division. You are doing what you're supposed to be doing and obeying. Him opposing it, him being prideful and not submitting to it, is causing the division. Verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Again, they don't understand what true godliness is. They don't understand that it's actually the power that can change their eternity. It's that they have gain, is what they think it is. But this is the command, again, from such, withdraw thyself. We are commanded from the truth of the word of God, directly, again, God to us, there's no wiggle room around it, to withdraw ourselves from them if they are in opposition of the word of God. It's a hard thing to do. Again, you continue to give them truth when the opportunity arises, when they have the questions, if they have questions, if they are, you see them trying, actually submitting and seeing that they have a change of heart, okay, give them the truth again. Don't be, again, mute and not actually give it to preserve temporal peace, because then you're not obeying what this says. Give the truth, allow them to either make division or not. But then you have a command. You have something that you are accountable for, and you will stand before the Lord whether you did it or not. Turn away. Don't let them lead you away from your eternity that the Lord wants for you. And that's our last point here. They have their purpose. They deny God's purpose. You are commanded to follow God's purpose. And that is what Paul says time and time again. Don't be deceived. Don't be led away by what man, and again, in their deception, are trying to deceive you of, in their lie. Follow God's purpose, which is, again, is pressing for that mark. Again, we forget so many times that God actually came not to, you know, join everyone together. He says it himself in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 51 and through 53 says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." It happens when you stand for what God says. We don't want division. We don't want to have that in us. But we are commanded to follow God. Again, his purpose, not follow man, not have this temporal peace that, again, is avoiding the fact that you, if you do not tell them about their eternity, what they might lose, you don't care about their eternity. If you choose to be silent and not speak the truth for to preserve a temporal peace, it's because you value your time with them now rather than their what they're going to lose in eternity. So speak. Give the truth. And yes, sometimes there will be division. God says it himself. But we still have to follow God's purpose. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We read from earlier from 5 and 6 and 7. About these are the people that we're not supposed to be partaker of, that they're trying to deceive us. We'll start reading verse 8. Through 11, it says, "For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye in the are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." This is our purpose. We need to be the light that shines, and sometimes shines dark again, something that's bad on the darkness. Darkness isn't going to like it sometimes, but that is our purpose in this life. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto God, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Our purpose that we have for those that are around us is to reprove the works of darkness, to speak and to preach the word. Turn away from those that would lead you otherwise. It's a hard thing to speak the truth when you know it's going to have opposition, when you know that it's not going to be received well. But it does not matter. We are still commanded to do so because you will stand before the Lord whether you did it or not. They will stand before the Lord whether they accepted it or not. But you need to do your purpose in following God. Last verses in Titus, turn to Titus, chapter 1. Again, see our purpose. What are we supposed to do in this life? We're pressing for that prize. What are we doing? It says in verse 9, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught." This is how we press. Holding fast to the faithful word. Don't let it go. Know the doctrine that's been given to you so that you know what the counterfeit is. "That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." You can only tell them what they need to know is if you've holding fast to the faith. If you know the doctrine, if you know what you're accountable for, hold fast to it and give the truth. Again, try to convince the gainsayers. Try and convince them. Because if you don't, if you stay silent, their eternity is set. They will have loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Or if they're lost, they will go to hell. Change their eternity with the power of God. Or give them the opportunity to change. It's their decision, not yours. But give them that decision. For they are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Verse 11. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Again, for their own gain, they say things to deceive others. Our purpose, our job, again, it's not to physically stop their mouth. I'm not telling you guys to go out and put your hands on people and stop them from speaking. But again, it's to, again, what we talked about in verse 9, to answer them again, to not let it go unanswered, to not let their deception go unanswered. Especially, again, if we're talking about like in a church, if someone comes in and is speaking heresy, you don't let them continue speaking. You don't know this is what the Bible says, so that others might not be led away in their deception. Stand for what the Lord has for you in your life, so that you are following him and not be turned away from someone else. Turn away from them and follow God. Beware the deceiver that is trying to pull you from that path to perfection. Pull you from the path of gain at the judgment seat of Christ. It is a very real warning from the Word of God. Don't be deceived that it's just some boogeyman story that we say up here. Understand the reality that it will affect your eternity and what we do right now. So obey and turn away. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we can, again, open your word, that we can see directly from it what it says plain and simply, what we are accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, just one of these commands that we will stand accountable for, did we do it or not? Did we turn away? Did we get led away by deception, by something that is not 100% according to the truth of your word? Because if we are, we're risking our eternity. We're risking losing everything, having everything burn. Help us to follow you, Lord, and your purpose in our lives, to speak the truth, to give it, and hopefully, like it was told to Timothy, to save them that hear us as well. As to help you help us to hold to the doctrine so that we can save ourselves as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.